Let's sing together number 41 in the Green Book as we prepare for worship. This is one of those songs where the composer got paid by the note, not the word. We'll sing this through three times.
Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church this morning, the last Sunday morning in summer. I'm accustomed to autumn beginning on the 21st or 22nd, but I'm told it begins on the 23rd this year. So we have one more Sunday morning of warm Christian fellowship. And I hope we can worship heartily together. And beginning with song, please stand.
You'll need your blue hymnal, the blue hardback, and we're on number 300.
Thank you.
Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. We praise you, O Lord, maker of heaven and earth, you who are faithful forever, working justice for the oppressed and setting prisoners free. You have called us together for worship today, for you are holy. May your Holy Spirit empower us to worship you in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand to sing once more.
We'll use the purple book for our next two hymns. In the purple book, number 34, You Are Holy. This song has two parts. We're going to sing part one and then part two in English. And then if you would like, the next time through, there is a Spanish translation in very tiny print in the lower right-hand corner. Those of you for whom that is the language of your heart, or those of us who are learning, that's an option in the second verse. And the third time through, we're going to sing parts one and two together. So you can pick your part and pick your language, and we will praise God.
Thank you.
may be seated. In the same book, we'll turn back to number 31, just a couple of pages before. Jesus Be the Center, number 31.
It is good for us to confess our sins to the Lord. Please pray with me the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin. Together. O God, Lord of the Church, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart and soul, our mind and our strength, or our neighbors as ourselves. We have been blind to the vision of the church united in witness to you and of a world renewed. We have seen the sins of our neighbors. To our own sins, we have been blind. Hear our prayer of confession, O God. In your mercy, pardon and restore us. We pray. Amen. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please stand. Sisters and brothers, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven, and you have peace with God. Let us share Christ's peace with the world and with each other. The peace of Christ, la paz de Cristo, be with you. Sea contigo. It is children's time. Children of any age are welcome at the front.
This basket, and we're collecting coins, we're collecting paper money also, to provide fresh water for people around the world. And Mennonite Central Committee is helping to take that money to the people who need water. Now, I have a handful of coins. Can I share them with you so you have some to put in too? You have some too? There we go. I'm going to put some money in here, just a little bit. There, whoops, there they rolled. So I'm going to put them in. Thank you. Thank you all very, very much. More people will have good water to drink. Do you have some too? Thank you very much. Well, this morning, I walk off without my Bible. Francis, would you reach around to the bench behind you and bring my Bible up, please? Thank you. Okay, we're going to hear a story about Jesus. And we know this is a really important story because there are two books in the Bible who tell this story. There's one story in the book of Matthew and another story in the book of John. So I want to tell you this story. And I have to scoot back so there's plenty of room here. Okay. The story starts, if you want to get closer so you can see. The story starts with Jesus sitting in a boat in a lake. And he has his disciples with him. Those are followers, special followers of Jesus. And as they were going along in the lake close to the shore, they noticed that there were lots of people walking along the bank of the river, of the lake, sorry. And the reason they were walking there was they heard that Jesus could heal people, that Jesus could make sick people well. So they wanted to get as close to Jesus as they could. Well, Jesus really cared for these people. So they went to the land and got out. And Jesus started healing people. And he healed people all day long. And it was getting to be nighttime. And the people were still there. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, "You should send everybody home so they can find some food for their supper." And Jesus said, "Well, you feed them." And they looked at each other and they thought, "We don't have enough food for all these people." Now, what the stories tell us is that there were at least 5,000 people. 5,000 people. And these people were told to sit down in the grass. So this isn't nearly enough grass for 5,000 people to sit on. But it gives you an idea how many people there were. And the other piece of the story is that it was in the wilderness. And it was a long way to get to a town. So they're out in the wilderness. Now, what Andrew, who was one of the disciples, said was he had found a little boy who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And this boy was very happy to share the food that he had with Jesus and with all of the other people. But the disciples said, "Well, how is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish going to feed all of these people? How does that happen?" Well, Jesus took the bread and the loaves of bread and the fish, and he looked to the heavens and he thanked God for this food and blessed this food. So then he started breaking the bread apart and maybe the fish too. That would be a little messier, right? And then he started giving baskets to the people, to the disciples who took the food over to all the people. And the people ate and ate until they were full. They were full. They had had enough food to eat. And Jesus said, "Okay, disciples, gather up all the extras." So the disciples collect all of the baskets that they had taken out. And there was not just one basket of food left over. There were 12 baskets of food left over after all of the people had all that they needed. Jesus had provided food for all these people. Jesus cared about all of these people. And God cares for each one of you, all of you. So let's pray. We thank you, dear God, for this marvelous story about how you provide for people and how Jesus really cares and how you can provide whatever we need. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, before you go, I have another basket. And the basket has some little loaves of bread and some little goldfish. And you'll need to talk with the person who you're with today to know when to eat them. Would you guys like some, too? Thank you very much. You can go back. Thank you.
scripture this morning is from the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Nuestra escritura de hoy es en Timoteo 2, 1 al 7. Ante todo, exhorto a que se hagan rogativas, oraciones, peticiones y acciones de gracias por todos los hombres, por los reyes y por los que ocupan altos puestos, para que vivamos con tranquilidad y reposo, y en toda piedad y honestidad. Porque esto es bueno y agradable delante de Dios y de nuestro Salvador, el cual quiere que todos los hombres sean salvos y lleguen a conocer la verdad.
For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth.
Porque hay un solo Dios, y un solo mediador entre Dios y los hombres, que es Jesucristo hombre, el cual se dio a sí mismo en rescate por todos. De lo cual se dio testimonio a su debido tiempo. Para esto fuiste constituido predicador y apóstol. Digo la verdad en Cristo y no miento. Y maestros de los judíos en la fe y la verdad.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Our preacher this morning is our pastor, Francis Ringenberg. And we will pray for her. Thank you, God, for the ministry of your servant and our sister, Francis Ringenberg. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through her this morning and lead us to the knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my loyal child in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So begins the letter. Years of labor for the gospel had made its mark on Paul's body, scarred and worn. But the intensity of his love and passion for the church still burned in his heart, hoping to come and visit Timothy, ministering in Ephesus on Paul's behalf. But Paul writes this letter just in case, saying, just in case I am delayed. 1 and 2 Timothy give much information about managing the church. Details, instructions, problems. But looking at the heart, at Paul's heart, as he puts together this letter, it seems that he is holding together two great realities. The church is in trouble, especially internal trouble. Questionable teaching. How to go forward. What to believe. What is true. Speculations. Meaningless talk. Some have departed from the truth. There are some who twist the teachings of Jesus. And there are some who think that serving God is a way to get rich. Imagine that. Will the church survive? Can the church survive? So much can go wrong. The church is fragile. We can sense some of that at Prairie Street today. This time of transition can feel shaky, uncertain. Things are changing. What next? This is the kind of space where church happens, the dynamics of a living organism. This is not bad news. It's not bad news. Because the letter reflects another great reality. The church is strong. Prairie Street is strong. Paul sends hope and encouragement. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these instructions to you so that if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the household of God, the pillar and bulwark of truth. He writes, without any doubt, the mystery of our religion is great. Christ Jesus was revealed in flesh, vindicated in spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among Gentiles, believed throughout the world, taken up in glory. The strength and the power and the mystery of such a church. He goes on, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Take hold of the life that continues forever to which you were called. And guard what has been entrusted to your care. We do well to understand the deep truth of both of these realities. The church is in trouble. Nothing new. The church is strong. Always new. Prairie Street is now spending time exploring both trouble and strength by learning about conflict, understanding the trouble and the strength of conflict in the church. Doing conflict well is partly about being able to understand and see, to see deeply, to name the dynamics, the truths of conflict. Pastor Steve's second hour events have been about paying attention to what happens in conflict-oriented exercises. In those sessions, we have been gathering around and noticing balance, stance, body language, energies, how relationships unfold, all the complex things happening when people encounter each other, how many subtle messages are being communicated. Doing this work is a powerful witness. The church in its need, where there is conflict, Lord help us. The church in its strength, where there is conflict, Lord help us. Out of all our turbulence and work, struggle and time and energy invested in being a healthy congregation, joyfully following Jesus in a spirit of celebration, hospitality, and caring so that others may know Jesus and follow his way of peace in your bulletin every Sunday for I don't know how many years. Out of all this, a kingdom is coming, is being shaped even now with hoping and worshiping and singing and possibilities gathered up, knit together, gracious, saved, and healed. This is the big picture today. But our passage, taken from Paul's letter to Timothy, gives us a little more. In the first chapter, Paul opens with the greeting we heard, gives warnings about false teachers, expresses gratitude for God's mercy in his own life, and moves on to instruction. So here we are. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. First of all, before anything else, pray. A cascade of prayer, supplications, prayers, intercessions. Pray all the variations you know, the prayers that are your heart prayers. Maybe the naming of people as you learned in your childhood, listing those you love. Maybe using certain phrases or a verse. Or maybe a new prayer form you're drawn to. A body prayer, contemplation, holding a question or a person in the light. Prayer in all its marvelous forms and variations. The familiar worn path of prayer, precious and trusted. The adventure and beckoning of a new way to pray. Entering into the deep privilege of holding others in prayer, standing with them, casting your hat into the ring of their circumstances, making a commitment, a pledge, investing in a sister or brother. The image of Aaron holding the arms of Moses up when Moses became so weary he could no longer do it. The prayer given as a hand clasped on the shoulder. The comfort, sinking into the comfort of those who pray for you. I remember going for charismatic prayer in a village in Cuatro Cruces, Costa Rica. The traditional worship service had ended and most in our group left, but I lingered, wondering about the special prayer that was supposed to happen afterward. I meant to simply be at the back observing. And I don't know how it happened or how it was decided, but suddenly I was surrounded by women gathering around me in prayer, many warm hands on my shoulders, my arms, my head. and an outpouring of fervent language unrecognizable to me. The only word at that time that I understood was hermanas, sister. And it was enough. I was prayed for as a sister. Who knows what else was said? Perhaps those prayers were part of the stream of the Spirit that drew me here to Prairie Street, and even now hover present as a sweet benediction on this concluding sermon. Our son Ross, many of you remember Ross, in his adolescent disability in East Jerusalem at the conclusion of an Eastern Catholic service where we attended with Palestinian friends, noticed that suddenly Ross was missing, gone. And we were told that he had been taken away for prayer, towed away by members of the church to a man known for his ministry of prayer. The people of the church recognized that this young man was in need of prayer. Lifted, held, blessed. Who knows how far or how long those prayers carried Ross? How perhaps those prayers stand shining through all eternity as precious before the throne of God. A wide expanse of prayer is available to us. The foundation of our life in the Lord. But when we look at that line to Timothy, the passage does what I found to be a very odd thing. Paul calls that prayers be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions. And I was studying and reading and waiting for that line to go on. Everyone else I really wanted to pray for, the ones that need it, the downcast, the needy. But Paul doesn't go there. The line simply concludes with all who are in high positions. I was puzzled. We pray for leaders. Maybe particularly for those we want fixed and changed. What was Paul getting at here? So I looked around and I found some interesting thoughts. The Believer's Commentary points out that this prayer is for the emperor and not to the emperor. At that time, the imperial cult divinized emperors. So to actually pray for the emperor was a radical act. The earthly ruler was seen to have divine qualities, noted on the coins, the inscriptions, the statues, portraying the emperor as divine. To pray for the emperor and his court and system was to make it human. Maybe today we have leaders who think nobody is bigger, nobody knows better, nobody else can do it. Such a leader needs prayer to make them human. On a more charitable note, what if we prayed with warmth and tenderness, believing that they have precious gifts to offer? Or maybe this is a special injunction to prayer because it is the hard one. Mary Hinkleshore, a Lutheran pastor, suggests, we do not pray for the powerful in order to be left alone by them. We pray so that our paths may cross with these people in Christ. The power of the family of God in prayer. The power that is in Jesus, and before which all other powers on earth and in heaven give way. Praying that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, as Paul says, in all godliness and dignity. A good prayer for the world. A good prayer for our city, our schools, our family, our streets. So prayer carried and offered by the church in its trouble and in its strength brings us to a realization. What we do as church matters. We embrace the difficulties of being church, and we are not afraid. We embrace the strengths of being church and hold on. This means we are precious, every one of us. Every city is precious. Elkhart is precious. The world is precious. And someday, this precious time will be up for each of us. But the kingdom of God is at hand. From the passionate heart of the Apostle Paul through the ages to us, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Guard through the Holy Spirit what dwells in you, the treasure that has been entrusted to you, Prairie Street Mennonite Church, God's project in the world that God loves beyond our wildest imagining, the world that reveals its brokenness over and over again in ever more devastating detail. Much is at stake. Much hangs in the balance. The hosts of heaven hover and hold their breath. The gates of hell shift and creak. What we do here is not only an event to fit into your schedule, an option to consider. One more choice in a long list of things demanding your time. It's hard. It's not simple. It's important. We can do it. Crucial and precious opportunities and moments not to be lost. In Genesis children's story, Jesus said, you do it. I think Jesus says to Prairie Street, you do it. And see what happens. Next week, I hand over my part in this wonderful, complex, precious, frustrating church project of being church, I hand it over to you to carry. And I leave with some sadness and some loss, but also hope, deep hope and curiosity. What will happen here? What will the Spirit do with this beloved, gifted congregation? What shape? What new patterns? What surprises are coming? I leave to make more space for that to happen. You need not fear trouble, real and present. You need to hold your strength, powerful and present. Understanding and exploring your gifts, your calling, as the household of God, which is the church of the living God. So I give you one of my favorite prayers from Macrina Wiedeker. She writes, "It seems to me, Lord, that we search much too desperately for answers. When a good question holds as much grace as an answer. Jesus, you are the great questioner. Keep our questions alive, that we may always be seekers rather than settlers. Guard us well from the sin of settling in with our answers hugged to our breasts. Make of us, make of Prairie Street, a wondering, far-sighted, questioning, restless people, and give Prairie Street the feet of pilgrims on this journey unfinished. Amen."
Please turn in your green hymnal to number 94. Blessed Are They, number 94. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. And when you get to the refrain, notice that there are harmony parts on the top and the bottom, and if you want the melody, you actually want that middle line in there.
Blessed are they, full of sorrow. Francis, thank you for your message this morning. A word of blessing and encouragement, a word of anticipation. We're grateful and receive that. We are aware that next Sunday, we will have a special celebration, a time of giving thanks to our sister Frances for her ministry among us. And invite us all to be present and to share in that act of recognizing and giving thanks.
Sabemos que en la semana que viene vamos a celebrar a Frances por todo lo que nos ha dado como una iglesia, ya que se va. La semana que viene será su última semana con nosotros.
When a pastor concludes their formal ministry in a congregation, it's important to bring definition to the ongoing relationship with the congregation, so that there is both freedom for the pastor to disengage, to set down the responsibilities that they have carried, as well as for the congregation in moving forward to be calling forth new leaders. And to that end, this past Wednesday, the executive committee, Jeanette Crable, Josh Kinder, and I met with Frances to define what we call an exit agreement.
Consideramos que es muy importante, por ejemplo, cuando un pastor se va de una iglesia, estar muy claro cómo será la relación entre esa persona con la congregación. Primeramente, porque eso deja que el pastor puede mover un poquito atrás, ¿no? Y dejar que ese espacio que necesite para estar afuera de la congregación y pues dejar de sus responsabilidades en la congregación. Pero también es importante que la congregación deje un fuerte espacio para buscar nuevos líderes y dejar un espacio para repensar sus patrones que ya hay. Entonces, el comité ejecutivo se reunió con la pastora Francis en la semana pasada para estar muy claro de cómo será la relación de ella y la congregación de ahora en adelante.
Frances has been in what is often a unique role, not so much here at Prairie Street, to have been first a member of this congregation, being called from within the congregation, and intending to continue as a member of this congregation. And for all three of these relationships, we are grateful. And the exit agreement takes all three of those very seriously. And so for a period of time, Frances will be withdrawing from the life of the congregation to make space again for the work that she needs to do, as well as for the congregation, the work that we as a congregation need to do, but then also defines a coming back and steps toward that end. Copies of the exit agreement are in the mailboxes this morning. We have them in both English and in Spanish. And if there are any questions about these, please direct those to one of the members of the executive committee, again, Jeanette Crabill, Josh Kinder, or myself, and we will be happy to talk with you. We've also run this past our congregational coach to have counsel from outside of ourselves as well. We looked at counsel from Indiana-Michigan Conference on designing such an agreement. So we are grateful. We are very pleased with the conversation we had together and to bring clarity so that there is a way forward that is healthy and whole for all of us. And again, if there are questions, please feel free to be back in touch with any one of us.
Consideramos que en el caso de Francis fue un caso interesante porque primero fue un miembro de la iglesia y luego fue la pastora y pues ahora tiene el deseo de seguir como un miembro en la iglesia. Entonces lo que hicimos fue un acuerdo y lo escribimos como oficialmente para dejar que Francis puede tener un tiempo de dejar sus responsabilidades como pastora, hacer un trabajo interno que se tiene que hacer y también dejar este tiempo para la congregación buscar nuevos patrones, especialmente en los quehaceres que hizo nuestra pastora Francis. Entonces, está escrito y están aquí en los correos para todos en inglés y español lo que estuvo el acuerdo entre Francis y la congregación, que ahora se va a tomar un tiempo de no venir a la iglesia, un tiempo para estar con Ron afuera. Y pues eso es el acuerdo actualmente. Si haya preguntas sobre eso, que ya tiene escrito en sus correos, se puede preguntar a David, a Josh o a Jeanette, que son miembros del comité ejecutivo.
I have also been asked this morning to share of another word of exit. About a week and a half ago, I had a phone call from Annie Yoder. Her voice was strong, and I was kind of surprised. We've not spoken in, sadly, far too long, and that had rested with me. But among other things in that call, she said, David, would you please join in prayers for that the Lord may receive me home? That, she said, I've not been able to get out in 5 years, that her life had reached its fill, and she was ready to bid farewell to this life. Well, that prayer that she had uttered and invited others to share in was answered this Friday evening. Annie was surrounded by family members. Her passing came quite quickly. She died peacefully on Friday evening, and there will be I'm sure announcement coming as we have details of plans for memorial service and what will be done. Annie had been a member of this congregation since the 1960s. She had been born in France and knew the devastation that took place in occupied France during World War II and carried scars on her heart from that also made her a person of deep compassion. We are grateful for her life, for her friendship, and we now give thanks to God as we release her back to God.
Hace una semana y media, David recibió una llamada de nuestra hermana Annie Yoder, que fue un miembro de esta iglesia desde 1960. Y ella pidió a él que él pudiera orar por ella para que Dios le recibiera en sus últimos días de su vida. Y se enteró esta semana que el viernes se murió la hermana Annie Yoder. Enseguida van a salir los detalles de todo el velatorio. Pero damos muchas gracias por la vida de ella, por las contribuciones que hizo a esta iglesia. Nació en Francia y sabía toda la dinámica de es vivir en un país después de una guerra y aportó mucho por eso. Y nada más el anuncio de su muerte y que enseguida van a llegar los detalles de su velatorio.
In your purple hymnal, turn to number 23. This song has a lot of repeats in it, and we're going to sing it as it's written, so we'll sing the Spanish verse first, and if you see, we sing that first line twice, and then we do the second line twice. And the instruments have an introduction beforehand, so don't be fooled. When you think it's time to come in, it isn't yet. Number 23. Gloria, 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 en las alturas a Dios. Gloria, 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 en las alturas a Dios. Y en la tierra paz para aquellos que ama el Señor. Y en la tierra paz para aquellos que ama el Señor. Gloria, 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 glory to God on high. Gloria, 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 glory to God on high. And on earth peace to all people in whom God has found peace. And on earth peace to all people in whom God is found pleased. Praise God. Please stand if you are able, and we are still in the purple book. We're at number 72. This song is better known as By and By, so if you don't recognize the long title, don't worry. Number 72 in the purple hymnal.
Understand it better by
formation or your witness grow cold. Guard the treasure God has entrusted to you as the household of God, the church of the living God. Remember one another in your prayers. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And may the love of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you and among you in the days ahead. Amen.